For this feast of the Immaculate Conception, the epistle is taken from Proverbs chapter 8. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before he made anything from the beginning. I was set from eternity and of old, before the earth was made. The depths were not as yet, and I was already conceived. Neither had the fountains of waters as yet sprung out. The mountains with their huge bulk had not yet been established. Before the hills I was brought forth. He had not yet made the earth, nor the rivers, nor the poles of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was present. When with a certain law and compass he enclosed the depths, when he established the sky above and poised the fountains of waters, when he compassed the sea with the bounds, and set a law to the waters that they should not pass their limits. When he balanced the fountains of the earth, I was with him, forming all things, and was delighted every day, playing before him at all times, playing in the world. And my delights were to be with the children of men. Now, therefore, ye children, hear me. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, and that watcheth daily at my gates, and waiteth at the posts of my door. He that shall find me shall find life, and shall have salvation from the Lord. The Gospel is taken from St. Luke, chapter 1. At that time, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel, being come in, said unto her, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. You are the glory of Jerusalem, the joy of Israel, the honor of my people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On this tremendous feast, amidst this wonderful season of Advent, we want to try to draw light on the cycles of three that we have in the Catholic faith. There are many. Many cycles of three that we have for our contemplation every day, every year. We know that the most mysterious aspect of our faith is the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We also have the three principal feasts of the whole year, Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. We then also have, during the season of Advent, the three principal figures for us to follow: Saint John the Baptist, the prophet Isaiah, and the Blessed Virgin Mary. But also, amidst this cycle of three, we find one more. That is to say, we have those three souls who were born without original sin. Saint John the Baptist, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where we want to focus this morning, on this cycle of three, the three born without original sin. Last Sunday, a few days ago, we had the first step, Saint John. Today, December 8th, we have the second of these three steps, the Blessed Virgin Mary, who was conceived without original sin, therefore was born without original sin. And therefore today, as we try to make these steps, the second of the three today, let us try to focus upon Our Lady. Why was she so special? What in her life can we try to imitate ourselves? The first thing we must understand is that we have to be in admiration. We have to be in this state of admiration at the Blessed Virgin Mary, who was the Mother of God, the Mother of our Savior. So we see, yes, that she was conceived spotless, no sin. Do we understand, however, this great fact? Some Catholics believe that this Immaculate Conception is the meaning that Our Lady conceived our Lord. That is not our belief in this dogma of the faith. So let us try to emphasize, therefore, what this is. It is the miracle of God Himself on this soul of Our Lady. Our Lady, as all of us, a creature of God, was positively denied that stain on her soul. All of us contract original sin by nature. It was a miracle of God to prevent any such stain on this individual soul. This is the miracle we want to celebrate today. It wasn't that she was cleansed from the original sin when she was in the womb of her mother. Not at all. That is what happened to St. John the Baptist. But for Our Lady, it was this positive miracle that it was a prevention, a gate, a wall that was between her soul and that natural occasion, the contraction of original sin. That is why we want to be in admiration today, because of this miraculous fact, which would then give to us the principle of the divine maternity for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so let us on this day focus on this beauty, because Our Lady, yes, during her life, never fell to any sin. It was because of this principle, this Immaculate Conception, she was not tainted in any way. So for us, as creatures of God as well, let us try in our own way to imitate this great beauty, to ask for her intercession, because she has a great power in her own hands, given to her by God. If she has been preserved from any contraction of sin, therefore not being influenced by the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, would it not be for us a great means of grace to ask her for that? That great protection being cloaked in her mantle this day. And that is why we want to focus here. So little attention is drawn to Our Lady during the year. It comes and goes. The months of May and October come and they go. But today is not like any other day. And why is that? We see it very clearly by you being here this morning. This is a holy day of obligation. And as the students have learned this year, the holy days are specifically set apart because you know you're only obliged to come to Mass on Sunday. And these feasts oftentimes do not fall on a Sunday. Therefore, we have to specifically draw light to the dates to come. But this day, Wednesday, has to be treated as a few days ago, exactly like Sunday. Nothing more and nothing less. And so, there must be something special about this feast, so to oblige you, to put you under pain of sin, not to follow this day as a Sunday. And that is why we want to focus on this beauty, the Immaculate Conception. Do we understand? Again, it's that miracle of God. And so let us, at this wonderment of this mystery, let us try to imitate it. Let us try to reflect it in our soul. Although it be impossible to the absolute, we are stained. We cannot be immaculate. But we can go to some degree, and that is what we are here for. So let us try to foster a devotion to Our Lady under this title of the Immaculate Conception. And we will do this very specifically. As you know, the title Immaculate means without stain, and conception, we have the equivalent in English, concept, idea. And have we ever understood the fact that what we do in action is given a propeller from our thoughts? The thoughts is the impulse of an action. So if we try to purify our thoughts, our concepts, God willing, our actions will be the same. Do not work on the actions. Do not work on the effects themselves now. Rather, take a step back. Purify your thoughts, your desires. In that attempt yourself, you will find much progress. As Our Lady, she had no worry about the effects of her life, about her action, about her duty of stays. She knew that she would be able to follow God's will because of her conception. Because she was without stain in her principle, she would therefore be without stain in her action. So for us, weak human creatures, but the same nature of Our Lady, let us try today to invoke the Blessed Virgin Mary under this title, so to purify our thoughts. And then concretely, every day that we have, how can we purify our thoughts? What borders can you place for yourselves so to ensure this great act of virtue? You have to pray. You have to intensely desire to be an imitator of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Nothing less. Nothing less. We often lack the desire. We lack the motivation to continue. And that is why we lack the immaculate aspect on our soul. So again, intensify today. You have the whole day. You can do nothing physical. You can do nothing to distract yourself from God today. Ask, and you shall receive. So take some book, some specific devotion to Our Lady to practice from now until you die. And that great, great motivation on your part will, in some degree, enable you to have that immaculate nature on your soul. So having made the first step yesterday, on Sunday rather, with St. John the Baptist, making the second step today with Our Lady, let us now try to complete, with the coming of Christmas, that third step, to be with God in heaven that eternal Christmas. But it obliges us to do something our own selves. It obliges us to take action. As you would have read on Sunday, St. John the Baptist was called not only a prophet, but more than a prophet. And that is because he did not speak only in words. He did not foretell Christ in words only, but more specifically by action. He paved the way. Ecce agnus Dei, ecce qui tolle peccata mundi. as you hear every Mass when the priest holds the host prior to your communion. He was not only in word but in action, that great link that forms the great virtue in a soul. The Blessed Virgin Mary did the same, so we can call her not only a virgin, but more than a virgin. So for you, the faithful of our Lord Jesus Christ, desire with a great desire to not only be called faithful, but to be called more than faithful. That is to say, in other words, to be called a saint. And so as we prepare for this great feast of Christmas, with this beautiful feast of the Immaculate Conception, let us make the three steps. Let us follow the examples given to us so that by becoming more than faithful in our actions linked to our words, we will therefore have these words applied to us. Thou art the glory of Jerusalem, the glory of Israel, the honor of our people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.